I know in the last Olympic Games, the gold medal winner was a Ugandan man in the marathon. You are good long distance runners. You have endurance for the race marked out for us. Amen. We have gone to Mount Sinai. We have heard the words of God Almighty. Been through the trauma of the golden calf. And the next incident to happen is where Moses sends out the 12 spies. To search out the land of Canaan. One man from every tribe, a leader. And they are given 40 days in which to spy out the land. They are supposed to confirm God's description of the land. And in so doing, encourage the sons of Israel to take hold of their inheritance. But instead of this happening, the opposite occurs. Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 and 28. Thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us. It certainly does flow with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. And this. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And we saw the children of Anak there." Who were the children of Anak? Who were the children of Anak? Anybody remember? Giants. There were giants in the land. The spies confirm God's account of the land. It certainly does flow with milk and honey. But they then discourage the people. Because of their unbelief. They believed that they could not do what God was telling them to do. And they did not believe that God was able to bring them into the land. In Numbers 13, verses 31 to 33, the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." And they gave out to the children of Israel a bad report, saying, "The land through which we have gone is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it are men of great size. There we also saw the Nephilim. The Nephilim. The sons of Anak are a part of the Nephilim. We became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Caleb and Joshua urged the people to obey the Lord. But their exhortation is drowned out with the negativity against Moses and Aaron. Numbers 14, verses 1 to 4. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land? To fall by the sword. Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better just to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. The people have unbelief in their hearts. And because of their unbelief, they are in rebellion against God Almighty. Joshua and Caleb tear their clothes. They plead with the people, 'We can go up. We are able to possess the land.' But the people talk of stoning them instead." That is when God intervenes. "And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting." This is a most pivotal event in the life of the journey of the children of Israel. What will happen here will determine their future for the next 40 years. What is God speaking to us today through this example? When God told the children of Egypt, children of Israel, that he would deliver them from the land of Egypt, that he would take them from the land of slavery to a land flowing with milk and honey, he was absolutely serious and meant what he said. He did not bring them out of Egypt to have them wandering aimlessly in the wilderness. He was going to take them to the land he had shown them. All he expected of them was to believe in him. To such an extent that they acted on that belief. We call this the work of faith. And it is what he expects of us today. God has delivered us from the land of slavery, this world. He has delivered you from the flesh, the world, and the devil. In order to bring you into his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. A kingdom that he will establish in great glory at his second coming. But also a kingdom that is existing in your heart right now, if you are a true believer. A kingdom that should exist in the heart of every true believer. Which is a foretaste of the promised land which is to come. Do you have the kingdom of God in your heart? In Romans 14, verses 17 and 18, Paul says, the kingdom of God is not eating and not drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Do you have righteousness, peace, and joy in your heart today? If you do, that is an indication you have the kingdom of God within you. Paul says, for he who serves Christ in this way is acceptable to God and approved by men. God expects us to maintain righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit in your heart right now. This is the kingdom of heaven within you. In our flesh right now, we are walking through the wilderness of this world. We are walking through the wilderness in our flesh. But in our hearts, we should already be in Canaan. The land of our rest. The land flowing with milk and honey. As believers today, we should be used to feeding upon the pure milk of the Word. And delighting our souls with the honey from the rock which is Christ. Remember, the manna tasted of the wafers of honey. When you discover the revelation of Christ in His Word, you learn to feed upon the manna, the honey from the rock. Have you learned to enter into the land flowing with milk and honey yet? Have you entered Canaan in your heart yet? Amen. This is an indication you are walking with the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 The Apostle Peter says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him, you believe in him and greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. Is that your testimony today? Are you greatly rejoicing in your heart with joy inexpressible and full of glory? Is the kingdom of heaven rooted and established in your heart? Have you entered into Canaan in your heart yet? The land flowing with milk and honey. Is your heart full of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? Amen.
Amen.
When we first come to Christ, we experience being clean for the first time in our lives. And to some extent, we start to enter into His rest. Because we rest from our own works. And for the first time, learn to rely upon the completed work of Christ upon the cross. But this oasis of peace in your heart needs to be constantly maintained and outworked into your life. Until it becomes the norm for your heart. The Bible calls this the Sabbath rest of our faith. And it is spoken of in Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4. The Sabbath rest of faith is a fundamental principle of walking by faith for every believer. It is a principle of faith demonstrated by the Exodus from Egypt. And subsequent journey towards the promised land, the land of their rest. Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 9 to 11. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered into God's rest has also rested from his own works, as God did from His. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter into that rest. So that no man may fall through following the same example of disobedience. What example of disobedience is he talking to? Is he talking about? Yeah, the children of Israel in the wilderness when they rebelled. Let no one fall through following the same example of disobedience. We're supposed to look at the example of the Israelites and see that most of them never entered into their rest. And be warned that we do not fall in the same way they fell. If your heart has entered into Canaan, let it stay in Canaan. Don't go back to the wilderness. And certainly do not go back to the land of Egypt. Amen. When we first get saved, for the first time in our lives, we enter into God's rest. We experience genuine peace with God for the first time in our lives. But then there is a need to maintain this peace. Maintain this conviction of faith within. As our bodies are walking through the wilderness of this world, and that is not easy. It is very easy to lose your peace, lose that sense of closeness with God Almighty. The Bible says there is no rest for the wicked. If we sin, what happens to your peace? Removed. You have lost that sense of rest in God. You have stumbled in your faith walk. What do you need to do? To restore that sense of peace with God. Get on your knees and repent. Confess your sins. Repent from your sins and walk with God. And have that fellowship with God restored once more. And enter into His rest once more. Amen.
Amen.
When we stumble in our faith, we have need to enter into our Sabbath rest of faith once more. Not in the sense of getting saved all over again. Once you've left Egypt, you don't return to Egypt. You leave Egypt once. But if you have lost that sense of rest and faith in God, you don't need to get saved all over again, you need to repent again. And restore your faith walk with the Lord. This is a process that repeats in our lives. And the Bible calls it fighting the good fight of the faith. Keeping faith and a good conscience. Which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck with regards to their faith. That is 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 18 and 19. You are not called to fight with the Muslims or fight with the atheists. You are called to fight for your faith. And you do that by keeping a good conscience before God and before men. But if you reject that, you will suffer shipwreck with regard to your faith. Fighting the good fight of the faith is all about maintaining the Sabbath rest of faith in your heart. And guarding that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Guarding it through living a disciplined Christian walk. And being a God-fearing believer. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, the writer says, therefore, let us fear. If while a promise remains of entering into his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. God has promised us that we can enter into his rest by faith. But we can come short of this rest. By stumbling in our faith and not getting up by repentance. Or by secretly desiring to return to our old life. To return to Egypt. The Israelites said, let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. But instead of returning to Egypt, God made their bodies fall in the wilderness. And they never entered into his rest. Now these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our instruction. They were written down for our instruction. Upon whom the ends of the ages has come. So let him who thinks he stands be careful he does not fall. We stand by faith. And we have need to maintain that rest of faith, that conviction of faith within. Is your heart righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit? Or is your heart full of wickedness and darkness and the things of this world? Is your heart in Canaan? The land flowing with milk and honey. Are you feeding upon the pure milk of the word every day? Are you feeding upon the honey that is found in his word, his manna? Or have you somehow stumbled in the wilderness somewhere along the line? Amen.
Amen.
There is a battle for your soul.
Loin de Dieu, petit bonnet.
And we have need to walk in this battle and be soldiers of the King. Being changed from glory to glory. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And being conformed into His image. But there is a problem today. Often people do not come to the faith with this idea that they should be conformed to the image of Christ. Many people today, they accept Christ because they want to go to heaven. And they don't want to go to hell. But they don't realize it will cost you everything you have. God wants to sanctify you through and through completely. But many people today, they say, well, I believed in Jesus, therefore I'm going to heaven. I don't need to do anything, it's all about what He has done for me already. And there is some truth in what they say. Because our salvation comes from the Lord, it is of the Lord. We cannot earn our salvation. But once we receive His mercy and His salvation, we must work out that salvation with fear and with trembling. There is no such thing as a Christian coming to Christ and staying the same. God wants you to be changed. He wants you to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And have nothing to do with the fleshy deeds of darkness. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, the Apostle Paul says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless till the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ saves you, He saves you in your spirit. The righteousness of God enters into your heart. But that righteousness needs to be outworked in your spirit, soul, and body. Jesus is coming for a bride with no spot, no wrinkle, or any other blemish. But that she would be holy and blameless. Jesus is not coming for a prostitute with dirty spots all over her garments. He's coming for a pure bride. One in whom there is no blame can be attached. Amen. God wants to perfect you in Christ. that your whole spirit, soul, and body may be preserved blameless till the coming of Christ. Faith and worldly living are two opposites. If you're walking by faith, you cannot walk in this world. According to this world. If you're walking according to the world, you cannot walk by faith. Amen.
Amen.
To walk by faith is to have that sense of being clean on the inside. That you are at rest with God and have peace with God. And to maintain that conviction of faith within. Is a battle and a fight and a surrender of your will unto God. And you will come against many giants that will try and resist you on that journey. Giants of pride and jealousy and envy and lust. Who will try to resist you in your faith walk. And will try to stop you entering into your promised land of rest in Christ. But when faced by such formidable foes, these giants, many children of Israel today say, we are not able to overcome my lusts of the flesh. I am not able to overcome these giants of lust or pride or envy in my heart. And like the children of Israel of old, they say, we are not able, and they give up the fight.
Yeah.
And instead look to return to Egypt. Men say, well, I'm just a weak man. I can't help myself. I just love women and I just go with whatever woman I can go with. I'm so used to doing it, I can't stop myself. The giants of lust have prevented that man from entering into the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
God calls us to enter into the land. To take hold of his kingdom. And put those giants in our hearts to the sword. But when you preach like that to some people today, they say, I don't like your message. This is too hard. The standard is too high. I prefer the other message from the other pastor. He just preaches grace and love and acceptance. We became like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And so we were in their sight. All they do is look at themselves and their own inadequacies, their own weaknesses. And their love for sin prevents them from entering into the land. But Joshua and Caleb were of a different spirit. They took their eyes off themselves and instead put them onto the Lord God who called them. We are called today to fix our eyes upon Jesus.
Yeah.
Who Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says that He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Jesus will author your faith. He will begin your faith. But He is also looking to perfect your faith. And that is the fight of your faith along the journey. To defeat the giants of lust and pride and arrogance in your heart. That fight to conform you into the image of His Son. That fight to establish righteousness as the central truth in your heart. Many people do not want to fight for their faith. They say, "We are not able. I love my sin too much. I'm not willing to give up my sin." But God is calling us to be holy as He is holy. And He is commanding His people to enter into the land. And possess the land by faith. When God set His standards and puts His standards so high, in our natural strength we will say we are not able. Jesus said it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. His disciples said, "Well, who then can be saved?" With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Is your faith in yourself or in the God who calls you? Amen.
Amen.
There are many giants hidden in the dark places of our souls. That seek to keep us out, keep our hearts out of Canaan. And thereby keep us out of the kingdom when Christ returns. Giants of jealousy and anger and bitterness. That corrupt and defile our hearts. And prevent us from truly resting in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "We have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast at the beginning of our assurance firm until the end." Are you holding fast your assurance in Jesus Christ? Or have you let that assurance in Him slip? There is a hymn in England which says, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glories divine. Do you have that foretaste of the gland which is to come? Do you have the assurance that Christ lives in your heart? The Bible calls it the conviction of faith. Where you know that you know that you know that you are saved and loved by God. That you know that you could walk away from the path, but you have that assurance that Christ is holding you and is leading you in the journey. Do you know that you are saved? Do you have the assurance of your salvation? I once spoke to a Baptist preacher in the UK. And he said to me, the greatest problem in the church people have is their lack of assurance in their hearts. They don't know in the depths of their hearts that they are born again and they are going to heaven. They hope that they will make it to heaven. They think they might make it to heaven. But the Bible talks about a conviction of faith that is rock solid in your heart. That you have full assurance of faith. Which is the evidence of things not seen. Do you have that conviction of faith in your heart? Do you have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit in your heart? If you don't, you need to enter into His rest. And seek the Lord and get to that place where you do have that assurance in your heart. Amen. Are you holding fast your assurance that you had at the beginning until the end? That peace you received when you first got born again. Do you have that today? It appears that many of the children of Israel just assumed that Moses was going to take them into the land of the promise. And they would not have to expend much energy themselves in getting there. Like they assumed Moses was just going to take them straight there. And the reality of having to fight to gain their inheritance. What was too much for many of the Israelites to contemplate. Like many believers today. When you talk like the way I'm talking now, That we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. You need to partner with God in that work of sanctification. They start complaining very loudly. And they resist the idea that they have in any way to fight against their sinful nature. Well, they say, well, no, I just came to Jesus. And I was told he has a great plan for my life. I was told if I pray this prayer, I will go to heaven. Well, when Moses met with God at the burning bush, God told him that he would deliver his people and bring them into the land of Canaan. He didn't say, if they do this and if they do that, he said, I'm going to do it. If we base our whole doctrine on one verse, we can go astray. Amen.
Amen.
God said, I will deliver them, no ifs, no buts. But then in other places he says, if you obey my commands. If you walk according to my covenant. You see, people today, they say, well, all I need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. And they look at all the verses we say, believe on Jesus and you shall be saved. But the sum of God's word is the truth. And we must balance every verse with every other verse from the scripture. It is good to believe. But the demons believe and they shudder. Just believing that there is a God is not enough to make it to the promised land. You need to believe unto salvation. Your belief must be translated into the work of faith. Faith is not a passive word, it is a word of action. By faith, Noah built an ark in holy fear. When God told Noah to build an ark, Noah believed God. But his belief was not enough. He then had to act upon his belief and do the thing God commanded him to do. Faith and works go together. But if you have no works to evidence your faith is dead. Some people say, well, I don't have to do any works, I'm saved by grace. If I have to do anything, that means it's my works, it's not God's works. I'm saved by grace, not works. And that is true up to a point. We are saved by grace, not by works. But true grace will teach you to do good works. The grace of God has appeared to all men, instructing them to deny fleshly lusts. We are saved by grace, but grace will produce good works.
Yeah.
By grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of works, it is the gift of God. Not of works that no man may boast before God. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. To do good works.
Yeah.
We are saved by grace and through faith. To do good works. We don't do the works to get grace and get faith. But if we are of the faith, we will do the works. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Who is it talking to? Believers like you and me. Who is supposed to work out their salvation with fear and trembling? Me. For it is God who is at work in you. You work out your salvation by partnering with God who is at work in your heart already. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore put to death the members of which you are on the earth. Put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication,
uncleanness.
Who is supposed to put them to death? Me. Who is supposed to discipline themselves unto godliness? Me. Fight the good fight of the faith. If we do not fight and battle with the giants in our flesh, that desire to dominate us, will we make it to the promised land or not? No. If you don't enter into his Sabbath rest in your heart, if you do not enter into his kingdom, the land of Canaan, in your heart today, will you ever enter into his kingdom when he returns and establishes it? No. There are many believers today who don't want to fight against their flesh because they like and love their sin too much. And the Bible says that most of them, their bodies fell in the wilderness. The Bible seems to indicate that most people in the church will not make it to the promised land. That should put the fear of the Lord into you. Will I make it on that great day? There is a way you can know you will make it.
Yeah.
By holding fast his assurance in Christ in your heart till the end. By walking that narrow path which leads to life, that few will find. Have you entered into his rest in your heart? Therefore let us fear if whilst a promise remains of entering his rest. Any one of you may seem to have come short of it. Do you have the peace of God in your heart? Do you have the love of Christ in your heart today? If you don't, you need to do something about it. As a matter of urgency. Let us fear if whilst the promise remains of entering into his rest, we have not done so. Amen. There are many leaders today who act like the 10 faithless spies. They tell people you do not need to fight against the enemies in your flesh. You do not need to contend earnestly for the faith. God is love, and it's all about his love and acceptance. And they say, we don't need to fight. When you don't have that assurance of faith, just look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm a child of God. If you don't feel like a child of God, that's Satan lying to you. No, it may well be your heart telling you you are not in the faith. They say if you don't feel like you're saved, just tell yourself you're saved. They may not feel saved because they may have stumbled in their faith walk. And they have need to enter into his rest once more. By confessing that sin, repenting of it, and forsaking it. But when you preach the way I'm preaching today, people will say, you are putting too high a standard upon the people. You're a Pharisee, you're too judgmental. You serve a hard God. I serve the God of love. They are exactly like this faithless spies in the wilderness. We are not able to enter into that land. Such leaders do not realize that God will judge them for their faithless words. In Numbers 14, verses 36 and 37, as for the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation grumble against him by bringing out a bad report concerning the land. Even those very men who brought the bad report, died by a plague before the Lord. Of the 12 spies who were sent out to spy out the land, only Joshua and Caleb would ever enter that land. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit, and has followed me fully, him I will bring into the land. And his seed shall take possession of it. But surely the rest of the congregation who rebelled shall not come into the land which I swore to give them, except Caleb and Joshua. God has called his people today to receive a kingdom, one he will give them if they are of the same faith as Caleb and Joshua. Who were of a different spirit to those around them. If you are exactly the same as everybody else around you, watch out, because you need to be of a different spirit to the most of the people around you. Caleb and Joshua followed the Lord fully in their hearts. They possessed the land by having a bold and overcoming faith. That did not look to the circumstances, but looked to the God who promised. Amen. God is looking for his people to have the same faith today. Faith at its essence is a resting God. But to walk by faith is to overcome any demonic assault or fleshy assault against that rest in our hearts. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. This is the victory which has overcome the world, even our faith. Not a passive faith which does nothing, but a living faith which takes hold of the promises of God. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent men take it by force. Not a violence to get our miracle from God, but a violence against Satan, the flesh. Amen. Are you a man of holy violence? In the things of God. When your flesh rises up against you, and the giants present in your flesh try and resist you and say, you've got to go along with this lust, you've always been a lustful man, are you going to resist him in the violence of the kingdom? The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent men take it by force. Not a violence against flesh and blood, against people, but a violence against our flesh, or the lustful impulses in our flesh. A violence against every lofty thing and every lofty thought that is raised against the knowledge of God. Faith is a conviction and a rest in God. But it is also a word of action. An action that springs from that rest. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 33-34, it speaks of the heroes of the faith. Like Gideon, Barak, Samson. Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Who did things by faith. Who by faith conquered kingdoms. Performed acts of righteousness. Obtained the promises and shut the mouths of lions. Who by faith quenched the power of the fluff of the fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. By faith were made from weakness were made strong. By faith they became mighty in foreign battles. And put foreign armies to flight. God is looking for overcomers in His church today. Not those who just pay lip service to the King. He is looking for those who will take a hold of Christ. Who like Caleb and Joshua have a different spirit to most of the people around. Who seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Not those who put it second, third or fourth. Amen. In the book of Revelation chapter 21, verses 7 and 8, God says, He who overcomes will inherit these things. And I will be his God and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving. The abominable and murderers and immoral persons. Sorcerers, idolaters and all liars. Their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Which is the second death. What are the first two categories of people mentioned? Is it the murderers and the idolaters? What are the first two categories? The cowards and the unbelieving. They are mentioned first on the list. Probably because there will be more cowards and unbelievers in the lake of fire than murderers and liars and adulterers. Amen. Let us not be cowards in our day. When we come across the great giants of our flesh, we seek to dominate us.
Kawan wa mole ikum uyira emanu wa nanyan gintik.
Are you going to take your stand, the stand of faith? Like when David's mighty men took their stand in the field. And when the enemy came rushing upon them, they took their stand and defended the land. And brought about a great victory for the sons of Israel. Are you going to be like them mighty men who take their stand in Christ and stand firm in the faith with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, your breastplate of righteousness in place, your helmet of salvation firmly on your head, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one, and taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Are you going to be a bold soldier in God's army? Are you going to overcome by faith? Are you going to enter into that rest of faith in your heart? These things happened to them as an example, and were written for our instruction. God is calling us to fight the good fight of the faith. And in Hebrews chapter 10, the writer to the Hebrews is saying, you stood your ground in a great contest of your faith. You had your property confiscated from you. You were persecuted for your faith. And you stood the test. And you stood faithful side by side with those who were so treated also. Do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. Do not throw away your faith conviction in Christ, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. For when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a little while, he who is coming will come. But my righteous one shall live by faith. Not just say he has faith, but live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back unto destruction. But we are of those who have faith to the preserving and possessing of our souls. Are you going to be an overcomer? Amen. Caleb was still overcoming the enemy when he was 85 years old. He was taking the great fortified cities of the Anakim. And he declared he had strength for the battle the same as he had when he was in his 40s. There is no retirement in God's army. Amen.
Amen.
He who endures to the end shall be saved. Amen. Let us be those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Let us not be those who shrink back in the battle. Not the battle against flesh and blood, but the battle against the evil in your soul. Let us be those who do not shrink back, but those who take hold of faith. Who enter into the land and take possession of Canaan in their hearts. Amen. Will you be such a person? Amen. Let us pray. Glorious Lord, we look to you. You are the author and the perfecter of our faith. Father God, the good thing you have begun in us, may you carry it on to completion till the day of Christ. Help me to enter into your rest. May I have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit in my heart. May the kingdom of heaven be in my heart. Help us to learn how to fight in your strength. And stand strong in your army. Help us to be like Caleb and Joshua of old, who possessed a different spirit to those around them. May your Holy Spirit be upon us, that we may have power to enter into the land and possess it. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.